The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel is written to us by Matthew. At that time, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and a Canaanite woman of that district came, and she called out, "Have pity on me, son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But Jesus did not say a word to her. Jesus' disciples came and they asked him, "Send her away. She keeps shouting after us." He said in reply, "But I was only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And then the woman came and she did him homage. And she said, "Lord, help me." He said in reply, "It is not right to take the food of the children and throw them to the dogs." And she said, "Please, Lord, for even the dogs eat the scraps that fall from the table of their masters." Then Jesus said to her in reply, "Woman, you have great faith. Let it be done for you exactly as you wish." And the woman's daughter was healed in that hour. The Gospel of the Lord. Refer to the first two readings too. Okay. Let me start with this. The normal growth of the human person, you could say in three generalized steps, moves from self-care — some people never move beyond taking care of themselves — to group care, family care, where at least you start caring about people like you. I'm sad to say it's a minority of humanity that moves to universal care. This is why we have racism. This is why we have things like white supremacy. The stupid people still think it's only their group. That's extreme narcissism, but it emerges in every culture, in every age, when you can't move beyond the second stage. That you always think your group or your family or your nation is the superior one. So let's start with that. Secondly, we've got to know the Jewish people themselves were very much in that second stage. The way some stupid people in America believe in white supremacy, they did believe in Jewish supremacy. They were the chosen people. They were number one. And anyone outside of their group was inferior. They usually did not even talk to them. That's called a superiority complex, all right? And God has to heal them of it. We have in the three readings this Sunday, just in each one, how God is trying little by little to move them beyond this racism, if you want to call it that. So let's start with the first reading from Isaiah. Where Isaiah says, "Even the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, loving the name of the Lord, them I will also bring to my holy mountain." So this is the movement toward the beginnings of universal care, universalism. But it's a hard time coming, because most people will not move beyond their own nation, their own group, and their own religion. And that includes most of us. That's where humanity, culture, trains us to be. Love your neighbor, but hate your so-called enemy. Then the final line in that first reading, "My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the peoples." I want you to notice how the word "all" is going to be used even more in the second reading. It takes a long time, even in the Bible, for us to think in terms of all. We always think in terms of we, our group. Now this is from the 11th chapter of Romans. "I'm speaking to you Gentiles." So the Gentiles, again, we are the unbelievers, we are the pagans, and he's a Jew. But he sees himself as extending the preaching of the gospel beyond Judaism to the whole world. And That's, of course, why Paul became such an important figure. You and I, unless you're Jewish, probably are Gentiles. We would have been considered inferior people, lost, not a chance for God to love us. That's the arrogance of power. Whenever you think you're superior, you think God only loves you and God hates everybody else. But it's a rather contrived, difficult chapter, Romans 11, but trust me on this, the gist of it, and you can go back and read it, is that the Gentiles are going to receive mercy, as he puts it, just as much as you. God delivered all of us, again, notice all, the final word, all of us have been disobedient, that he might show mercy to all. So you're going to keep seeing the increase of the word all. Then, this gospel that I just read, which is supposed to upset you a little bit, I hope it did, because Jesus himself, our Lord and Master, appears not to be saying all. In fact, he reveals his own, for a moment, he reveals his own cultural racism. The Canaanites, you've got to know, were the group that the Jewish people fought for centuries. And, they were like dogs to them, sorry to say. They were inferior human beings. They were monsters. They were evil. You see, we learn racism basically from our family and our culture. No one is born hating black people. No one is born hating Mexicans. That's all something somewhere, some stupid person taught you that, right? But when the whole group agrees on it, it's very hard to resist it. When everybody's saying it, well, I guess they must be right. I know I grew up in Kansas where we Catholics thought we were the only ones that God loved, and we felt sorry for the poor Protestants, you know. I guess, I don't know if we thought they were all going to hell or whatever, but we were the saved church and everybody else God didn't care about too much. It's the same thing. It persists in every age. That's why we were able to treat the native peoples the way we did when we came, because we from Europe and Spain thought we were the superior ones and these poor native peoples were pagans, just like Jesus initially thinks of this Canaanite woman. So his bit of racism slips out of his mouth. And it's the only time in the gospel, this gospel, where we find Jesus being rather rude. Really insulting to this poor woman. But God bless her. She stands up to him. She isn't humiliated. She isn't put off. She isn't shamed. And she comes right back at him. But Lord, even the dogs eat the scraps that fall from the table. What a clever response, huh? And Jesus, who first reflects his racism, then immediately self-corrects, in effect apologizes, and says, "Woman, you are right and I am wrong." And even for a Jew to apologize to a Gentile, or for a male, to be perfectly honest, for a male to apologize to a woman, because it was a totally patriarchal culture. That still persists, I'm sorry to say, where some men think they're really better than women. This is common in much of the culture of the world, and men will never apologize to a woman. I hope your husband is not that way, and that he sometimes could admit that he is wrong too. And so he says, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." So we have racism gradually overcome. But it takes a while. It's a conversion. So let's go back to my first point. The way people grow up, they start with self-care. And a certain percentage never move beyond just taking care of me. Me, me, me. It's all about me. Most of us move to the second stage. Family care, group care. We can at least care for people who are like us. And that's the group that Jesus is most preaching to, the Jews who just love the Jews. And I'm sad to say it's only a minority who move to real conversion, universal care, that we're all equally created in the image of God, and the only basis for loving anybody is that we're all equally children of God. Every time you label in your mind, up, down, in, out, black, white, Catholic, Protestant, gay, straight, you're not seeing. I'm going to repeat it. Whenever you're labeling, you're not seeing. Because if you would see truthfully, you'd see those distinctions mean nothing. Nothing. Nothing to God. They're all created by culture, and we're seeing very sadly in our time that our culture is still possessed by such stupidity and such demons. But that's what happens. And of course, a lot of people are not just trapped in the second stage of group care. They're trapped in the first stage. It's all about me, my power, my money, my advancement, my job. Brothers and sisters, unless America can grow up and recognize its radical egocentricity, that a lot of our people have never moved beyond basic conversion, foundational conversion. Huh? You can't build a civilization. You can't build a nation when everybody thinks it's all about me. So you are the lucky people who are called not just to group care or family care, but universal care, universal love. That's called the gospel.